You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
I am feeling outstanding this afternoon. I feel great. I look even better. I'm ready for a big sports night in Toronto.
You've got the pocket puff. You are... Now, it's an old... This is going to show my age, but you are Thurston Howell III.
Happily.
From Gilligan's Island.
This is the new butter jacket. This is the precious... I've been talking about it for quite some time. I figured I would...
Seersucker.
It feels outstanding. Be honest with me.
I don't understand the reference, seersucker.
You've never heard of a... Just Google jacket. Mike Pekka used to wear the seersucker down in Florida.
I can't wait for it to come up.
Seriously. Yeah. Anyway, I've been talking about this jacket for a while.
Do you want the definition?
Yeah, give it to me.
It's a thin, puckered, all cotton fabric, commonly striped or checkered, used to make clothing for spring and summer wear.
Are we not in the spring?
Yeah, this is.
Are we not in the
that
spring?
That is actually.
I feel great in this jacket. I've been talking about it for a long time. I figured I would throw Maple Leaf fans a bone here because. A lot of people are concerned about the Drake curse.
Yeah.
I think if I'm in this jacket...
It's going to fend off any type of spirits?
Basically, it reverses any possible curse.
I didn't realize how much play that got, not just in Toronto.
Worldwide.
Like it was on, like, The View, and, like, it was... It got worldwide attention of this Drake curse. And I think it's because... You had the Italian soccer team that had tweeted it out, like, 6 hours earlier... And then the Drake's at the Leaf game, and they lose. So it was almost like a double whammy. Like, if the Leafs won the other night, I think he could have came out and said, hey, you know what? Like, there's nothing to this.
I think it completely deflates the story.
Right.
If the Maple Leafs win the other night,
yeah.
And he's in attendance wearing their sweater.
Wearing a six.
Completely changes the whole complexion of the story. But because of that AS Roma tweet, and then he shows up, he's in the Maple Leaf jersey, and they get... Not smoke, but
they
lose.
No, but they lost.
It adds to the whole story.
Yeah, it does.
And the whole curse. And we've had this conversation before. The celebrity status of Drake.
Yeah.
He is a massive, massive international superstar.
He is.
So anything that comes up that features Drake, people are going to pounce on it. If there's a negative slant or something that can be, you know, deemed humorous or whatever, people will pounce on it that much more. And that's what happened.
Well,
but I'm going to counter the curse.
Let me ask you, though. I thought it was... Were there genuinely Leaf fans that were pissed off
Absolutely.
At that?
Absolutely.
Like, I kind of thought
People
it was tongue-in-cheek.
People are superstitious.
I know, but I kind of thought it was tongue-in-cheek. Like, I
just don't see him around that much, and then all of a sudden he's got to be there, and...
Yeah, but he's allowed to. Like, this is... He didn't fly into Nashville and put a, you know, Predators jersey on, and they lost that
he
night.
Could.
Like, it... He could.
But he's allowed to do that, too.
He is, but
he
what
is
I'm saying
man.
Is he may have happened to be flying off, like you say, off tour from Amsterdam, comes home, goes, yeah, I'm going to catch the Leaf game. It's a great atmosphere, pop down there. Like, I, as hard as I am on him, I really felt like defending him yesterday and even that night because he didn't do anything wrong. And I actually kind of agree with Babcock in his comments in the conference call going, it's ridiculous. Like the players went and lost the game. It wasn't Drake in his jersey.
Well, it's a total cop-out.
It is.
It's what it is. If you lose, you're going to blame some guy who happens to be in the stands or some guy who was around the facility earlier.
Bernie the cooler.
William H. Macy, a.k.a. Drake, a.k.a. Bernie from the movie The Cooler.
Now, that being said, did you feel like Gronk was... A difference maker the other night in Boston?
I think he may have added to
the crowd,
energy in the building.
Or maybe the energy in the building. Yeah.
I think when Rob Gronkowski is in attendance, like Belichick was there for game two of the Celtics series, and they won, and they look good. And anytime any of the Patriots are around, like if Tom Brady's in the house tonight, I think the Maple Leafs are in trouble.
Really? Just because of the psyche?
Right. The psyche, what he would bring to the building, the aura of Tom Brady... I don't know why.
Tom Brady
can't score
on the power play or shut down the penalty kill. Like,
no, he can't, but neither could Gronk. Yet Gronkowski led to a building that was on fire because he was
in the house. I don't buy into that. It would be cool to see him, cool to hang out. I think a lot of the Dallas Cowboys were at...
Yeah.
But yeah, they haven't done anything.
Yeah, but they won that game 5-1. Who cares? Do you think Zeke being there or Dak Prescott?
What's that guy done? Hasn't done anything.
Exactly. They won 5-1, though, so who cares? It doesn't make a difference.
I hear you, but I'm saying Gronk
has
won rings.
Cowboys suck, and the Dallas Stars won 5-1
with those dudes
in the building.
Well, it's just supporting the team.
According to you, they should have got killed or lost a big game or choked or butt fumbled or done something stupid.
No, I think if Mark Sanchez showed up tonight... I think the Leafs roll. Sanchez is in the building wearing a Bruins jersey, then metaphorically the Bruins will butt fumble tonight. Here,
let me ask you this then. If Bill Buckner is in the building.
They're done. Leafs in five. They won't even play game six.
I was trying to think, who's a famous Boston athlete?
Yeah, Buckner.
It's Billy Buckner, right?
I guarantee you think Bruins fans want Bill Buckner in attendance tonight?
Here
no
to drop
chance.
The opening puck, Bill Buckner.
There's no way
he
they
fumbles
want that.
It like, goes through Chara's legs.
Could you? Or he'd fall and like take out Bergeron and knock him out of the series.
He's the cooler.
He's Bernie.
He's Boston's version of the cooler.
That's right.
Billy Buckner.
But that's my point. You can't say that Gronk in his presence doesn't mean anything, but Buckner's presence would mean something.
Toronto's Buckner, if they come back for game, they are coming back for game six, center ice to drop the ceremonial puck. Who is Toronto's
Buckner? Sounds like Drake. Unfortunately,
yeah,
because
it's not Drake.
And
but I'm tired
I agree.
Of Drake.
I agree. It's not, but. Who would it be?
It's obviously an athlete. I don't know. Ryan Goins dropped that. Remember that pop up and was it game five of the ALCS against the Royals? I can't remember. I think it was Goins. But it wasn't to the same
I'm
extent
just
as
joking.
Is that where Bautista kind of chirped him after? He's like,
yeah,
I'm joking
because they got their communication got mixed up and
you saw it.
I'm joking and being a little bit mean, but like, what if Kaber came and dropped the puck?
But it wasn't a big moment.
That's the thing.
Buckner was game six of the World
Series.
No,
I get it, and that's why I'm joking. But I just, I don't believe in it. But I do agree that I think the energy was different with a guy like Gronk for 10 minutes while he was there pumping everyone up. You know, Conor McGregor, they won in overtime that night when he was there. He dropped the puck, and didn't he chirp? I can't remember who it was against. He's like, destroy this guy. Yeah, bash this guy. Destroy this guy. He said that to Chara.
Yeah, I don't remember who they were playing.
Kinda, and then when Marchand scored in overtime, he did the McGregor walk. But I these guys have to focus on playing hockey. It's not about the...
going to happen on the ice tonight.
But your coat is spectacular.
I'm feeling it. It's good to be in here. I know a lot of people are off today, so I don't know how many people are... You know, watching or listening on TSN 1050 or on TSN 4. But we're here until 6:30 because the game is on TSN radio tonight. So puck drop at 7 from Boston, pregame at 6:30. And it's a double shot because you got the Leafs game 5 in Boston.
Yeah.
And you've got game 3 of the Raptors in Orlando taking on the Magic.
Aren't you fed up with, like, everything has got to be just a massive argument? It goes on Twitter. The Leafs are going to be on the big screen. And then the Raptors are going to be on the small screens. And that just turns into an absolute Twitter. I think Matthew Schinetti wrote about it or sent out a tweet about it. And then it's just like, get a hold of yourself, people. Don't go down there if you're going to complain about what TVs they're on.
I've never understood why anyone in this city has to pick one team over the other. Like, why would you cannibalize your own teams? Now, you might prefer one over the other. I understand that.
Yes.
You may be more of a Leaf fan than you are a Raptor fan or vice versa.
If you're
versa.
A Raptor fan, watch the smaller TVs with the Raptors. What? Why bitch and complain and the fake outrage?
You know what it is, though? It's who's got a bigger one. It's the, you know, who's...
I
don't know. I'm trying to paraphrasing.
Thing.
It's a bravado thing. Like, who's more important, the Raps or the Leafs?
Well, then the deal of who they had a better record. Why aren't? It's just like God.
Well,
shut up.
Raptors fans in this city have always felt underserved. Felt like, and it's because it's true when you compare it to the Maple Leaf coverage. The Leafs have been here for 100 years.
Yeah.
The Leafs. There are just more Maple Leaf fans. It's not that no one debates how loyal you are or how much you love the Raptors. If you're a diehard Raptor fan, we get it. This is what you get, though, when you get a corporation like Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. They own both teams.
Right.
They both share the same building. You know, you're in a bind here. Again, I can't believe I'm actually empathizing in a weird way for a conglomerate like Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
But
what are they supposed to do? Like, you try to appease both sides if you can, and if you don't like it, then don't go down there.
Okay, so here's a scenario. You could be a Rangers and a Knicks fan, and you're not dealing with that because neither one of them are playing right now.
Well, that's probably the best way to put it. Exactly. Right. How about just be happy that both teams are still playing meaningful games?
Very meaningful games.
In mid-April.
Where, like I say, if you're a fan of the Blackhawks and the Bulls.
You're out.
Not happening.
Both teams are terrible.
So, that be happy and make it work. You know, I think people just yell and bitch and scream just to hear themselves or see themselves on Twitter and get a response.
But you're going to get one, I guess, when it comes to this kind of stuff. But ultimately, it doesn't matter. You know, it's pouring rain anyway. Why would you put yourself through that?
Yeah, I
thought
about that.
The weather's going to be terrible tonight.
I thought about that, how packed it would be down there. That's diehards for sure, which I respect. But you're going to have to be pickled to be there or high or whatever you do. High's legal.
High is legal.
Like, it is.
Put that on a bumper sticker. That should be the new slogan of the...
Liberals?
Well, no, for the conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Doug Ford's the one he's trying to change the license plates.
Oh, okay.
Forget a place to grow. Just put high is legal.
Here you go.
That should be the new license plate in Ontario.
But I'm saying, if you're pickled or high, either way, you've got to do something to stay in that square.
I guess.
To get rained on for hours.
No, you couldn't pay me to go down there because... The games are too big. You know, yeah. I wouldn't want to miss anything either way because they're going to be two great games tonight. And, you know, I feel really good about the Raptors. That goes without saying. I think they smarten up after game two or after game one, really, because they blew the doors off Orlando in game two. And I feel pretty good about them winning this series. Maple Leafs Bruins is a completely different story. You know, everyone knows about the stats. And Andy and everyone on Leafs Lunch were talking about it today. In a 2-2 series, whoever wins game five puts themselves in a very good position to win the series. That goes without saying. It's like 80%.
I thought it was 70. Yeah, 78, 80%.
It's high 70s, borderline 80%. So that doesn't mean it has to be the case.
No.
You know, if you talk to Winnipeg tonight, I'm sure they'd say, whatever, I don't care about your stats. We're going to go back to St. Louis, and we're going to win the game, and we're going to come back for Game 7, and then all bets are off. But the way this Maple Leaf-Bruins series has played out, tough to see any team winning two in a row.
Yeah.
Because it's just been...
It's kind of a seesaw battle.
Back and forth.
And the wins have kind of been a lot different. You know, when you look at it, you know, the formula is kind of the same for both teams, but they... I think we talked about it at length yesterday. It just wasn't from the energy level and intensity level. I thought game four kind of fell short of that from both teams. I think either they were tired or they just kind of were scared to lose or methodical. But it just wasn't through the roof like we saw in games one, two, and three. I think you're going to see a high energy game tonight from both teams. Like, this could be a good game. Now, it could be.
That should go without saying, don't you think?
But
could you imagine not being.
Though.
I know, you're right. Game four, it should have been applicable in game four. Game four, there really wasn't a ton of intensity from either team. But game five, tied at two, the idea that both teams aren't going to be guns a-blazing tonight.
I think
tonight
they will be. They will
seems
be.
Seems impossible to believe.
First 10 minutes is going to be. It should be insane.
It should be exciting. But I
think the expectation is the Bruins are going to come out flying. But I think that's where you could hopefully see, from a Toronto perspective, the maturity of this Maple Leaf team. Why would you allow that?
Yeah, why would they be surprised? You would think of that locker room, they're going to come out, and we better not look surprised or act surprised or play surprised.
You can't.
It could be the series on the line, the first period of this game.
Absolutely.
I'm going to use the word counterpunch. Like, that's what you need. Like... I continue to watch teams, and you covered the game last night. I watched it too. Winnipeg didn't have a counterpunch once they got back on their heels. Oof. They defended, tried to defend the last 6 minutes.
They couldn't get to three, and then after that, it was like...
But you, exactly. They had way too many opportunities. You know, Kevin Hayes actually pulls one off his own off the goal line. He couldn't do that again if he tried. That was a weird play.
That was crazy.
As a breakaway. You know, if that got to three, the game was over. But it doesn't. And then Winnipeg... St. Louis sticks with it, gets a power play goal. They get the goal that was... I thought there was a goal. And
I thought
the right
that
call
was a
by
goal, too. That should be the... Listen, Bufflin pushes him blatantly into the net,
yeah, it was
and the
right
puck
call.
Was going in.
It was the right
wide-open
call.
Net, and he put it in.
But that's where you can't try and defend to get to overtime.
Yeah,
and I thought
sure
your breakdown
Trouba,
was...
I'm not sure what Trouba was doing.
Well, 15 was, seconds left
no,
on the
no, 25.
25
he,
seconds.
He pointed out on the panel, I thought it was a really good hit, because... You could tell what he was trying to do, but it was just too early.
Yeah,
like it, I thought
8 seconds left, you're told to go in the corner and just put it in your feet and don't let anybody touch it because it's going to run out.
But if he rings it around and gets an icing, they can regroup. There were so many things, and you can say, what if, but ultimately it was just too early to eat it. And credit to St. Louis, they didn't give up on that puck.
Oh. Well, and that was a brilliant play by Schwartz.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way Bozak had that plan. I don't know what Bozak was doing.
Fire it 3 feet in the air, seam play. And
I really have
bat
no idea
that.
What he was doing there. Like, there's no way he meant to do that. Like, that's not a plan. Like, that's not a rehearsed play. Like, it's not in the game book. Bozak, if you get it on the sideboard, fire one off this guy's kneecap, and let's hope that he bunts it in.
Yeah.
But Schwartz, like, unbelievable dexterity. And... You talk about hearing a pin drop. Like, well, that building.
Oh, my God.
The whole...
I couldn't believe how quiet
we
it was.
We were so pissed off because we were going to overtime.
Everyone
was like, we want to go home.
You're
we
an
don't
analyst.
Want 15 seconds. They scored. We were like, let's get this ready to rock, and we are out of here.
I couldn't believe that went in. Yeah. I really couldn't.
But that's, you know, that's the beauty of... These playoffs have had a lot of theater. They may not have. It may not be the sexiest teams that have either made it through or that are pushing back. Carolina's
back in it.
But that's the thing. Like it's had theater, and there's lots of storylines, and there'll be a big one tonight.
Well, how about Rod Brind'Amour? Like, this is why coaches ever being. I know they're going to be asked about, you know, every play, and they're going to have to dissect everything, but it should come with a disclaimer. This guy's the most biased human being on earth. Yeah. Because Brind'Amour comes out after Ovi lays out Svechnikov and goes on this big diatribe about how it was a joke and he shouldn't have done it. And he got
what
his gloves off.
About Fogle?
Well, last night he goes, I didn't think he really hit him that hard. I thought what Fogle did to Oshie was 25 times worse than what Ovechkin did. They dropped their gloves and fought like grown men. It happens. It was an awful outcome.
Right.
Fogle, that was a greasy, reckless cross check. I didn't like it at all.
It was greasy. But it was unfortunate set of circumstances because he got tangled up and he hurt his wrist.
And he pushed it. Like, here's the other thing, too.
He chopped Fogle, him from behind
but
5 feet
actually,
from the boards.
But if you look at it, Fogle gets under a stick on the one side on the back check. See, the people aren't, when they're watching on the internet and watching the replay, even the way we cut it, they didn't cut it far enough back. Fogle catches him on the back check, gets underneath the stick one way, comes around and pushes him. It's a push. And it's an egregious push in a tough area, and Oshie loses his balance. I don't think in a candid moment, Fogle's like, I'm going to bury this guy head first in the boards. It happens.
Right, but I don't think Ovi was going into the fight saying, I'm going to concuss this guy.
But you're right. Like, I'm not defending either or. I think they are plays that went wrong, and there's injuries involved in it. I just thought it was my whole thing in sitting back and watching it. But you're right. Todd Reirden comes out as the worst play ever I've ever seen, and my player's out forever. And then
Brendan
had
was
to
like,
tell,
oh, it's nothing. You capped
knew
him.
But you knew that was a Washington scribe.
No, I know that.
That's the thing. You knew that was a Washington scribe asking Brind'Amour, like, you think that was a dirty play? Because as we know, and I think every scribe, for the most part, I think there's some non-biased ones, but they're that cover a team, they've got to get to the bottom of it. But... Who was it? Barry Trotz and guy out of Pittsburgh. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Russo. Rob Rossi.
Rob Rossi.
A couple years ago. Rob Rossi took something so personal.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
went after Trotz. And Trotz was like, I didn't think it was a bad play. And I thought last night Brind'Amour was doing exactly what he did.
Oh, it was the coach's playbook.
He defend his players, and he's like, I'm not worried about Washington's players. I got enough of my own injury.
Of course.
And he was right.
All I'm pointing out is the hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
Of the first one,
yeah,
where Ovechkin should have been jailed,
yes,
should have been literally been flown to the Hague and basically had to explain his crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Fogel, McLovin,
yeah,
pushes Oshie, and I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, what do you... I don't know. What are you even watching?
Well,
what
said,
are you even looking,
you know,
at?
Like, what he
come
did
on.
Say that hit a nerve is like, I've seen a lot worse, which I, you know, I don't disagree in the playoffs. I just think if Oshie gets up from that play, we're not talking about
no,
it today.
No, but he didn't, and he's done probably for like a month.
Well,
it looked like he's
so.
Out for a long
looked
time.
Looked like he popped his shoulder out or did his
That's
wrist
a massive, massive injury.
It is.
That's a big injury for Washington.
Because he's a big player for them.
Game 5 tonight, Leafs-Bruins. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30. Game 3 down in Orlando. Raptors take it on the Magic. Jack Armstrong will join us from Orlando. We'll start teeing up game 3 with him. We'll get into the Steve Yzerman hiring, which I think has been a foregone conclusion since September when he stepped down in
Tampa.
Well,
no, they just asked permission in March.
You're right. How dare I insinuate that this had been in the works for a long time?
This is probably the worst kept secret. Or
this is tampering is what it is.
Well, it sounds like.
Everyone yells and screams about players tampering. This is blatant. Like, I never believed for a second Steve Yzerman out of nowhere goes, I'm just going to take this one off.
It's legal tampering, technically, because he actually did it from a legal standpoint. Stepped down in whatever, September before the season, and right the minute their season was over, he's like, oh, I'm going to look for a job now.
I'm not saying you're going to find the smoking gun,
yeah,
but anyone naive enough to believe that this had not been in the works for a long time,
yeah, you're bang
give
on.
Your head a shake. I mean, everyone has known for a long time it's coming.
They even went so far as to have other reports. Yzerman interested in the Rangers.
Right, exactly. Just to throw people off the scent.
They planted some seeds.
I love that move.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. He's looking at some other stuff.
Yzerman interested in the Rangers. Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Actually, no, he's not.
Not even remotely close to being interested.
No guy.
So we'll catch up with Ray Ferraro. Dave Pullen will be in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mail-In in Friday is brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. Jack Armstrong will join us here in a moment ahead of Game 3, Raptors Magic down in Orlando. So apparently Leafs Lunch gave the Leafs playoff keyword today.
Yes.
They're very busy in the morning.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Well,
couple producers. All sleeping.
It's all good.
It is early.
This afternoon, Leafs Lunch announced a Leaf playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. And the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to the Game 6 between Leafs and Bruins. Game 6, courtesy of TSN 1050. 416-870-1050. Andy Petrillo announced a Maple Leaf playoff keyword on the lunch earlier this afternoon. Call in, tell us what it is you're going to see that game. And more kind of rumors and conjecture out there that game on Sunday is going to be at 3 p.m.
Yeah, sniffing around on that. Like,
sure feels like it's going to be a 3 p.m. game. No guarantees yet, nothing officially announced.
Well, when everybody's saying the speculation, it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, which... I don't know. I was sniffing around yesterday, too. Like that, I think that throws a little wrench into a lot of people's Easter Sunday plans. Like, I know, Brian, you talked about it yesterday. Like, that jams you and Billy up.
Absolutely.
You got word from somebody yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to that game on Sunday.
Yeah.
No. On Twitter.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I did.
You need to take the Lord into your life,
yeah,
Easter.
Yes. I'm not going to get into that right now, but
yeah,
a message was sent.
I wrote him back, too.
I saw you did that.
Amen.
I didn't see that part.
But what I will say about a 3 p.m. start, it will be unique at the very least.
Well, for a Leafs game.
For a Leaf game, it never happens. They never play afternoon games.
Yeah.
So if you are actually getting together with family or friends or whatever, it'll be a game you won't forget because something is going to happen. Someone is going out, or someone is going to extend the series.
Ender or could exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things. Like, I mean, so many different factors. Obviously, let's get through tonight. But you know, next time we're in here on Monday, like, the whole landscape of the league is going to look different.
Absolutely. But Calgary's playing tonight. Calgary, Colorado.
Winnipeg could be out. The Leafs could be out if they lose two straight, or they could be heading to the second round. Like, we don't know. Like, there's so many different things. They could be heading to a Game 7 on Tuesday.
The great Canadian hope could be the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I have been holding on to my receipts for the past 15 years. All the people in our country.
Right.
Saying, jump on the Montreal Canadian bandwagon. They're the only Canadian team left. Right. Got to jump on the Flames in 04. Got to jump on the Oilers in 06. Ottawa in 07. Okay. If it's only the Leafs left,
yeah.
Even for Game 7, because let's say it gets to Game 7 on Tuesday night,
yeah.
The Flames could be out, the Jets could be out. I'm expecting all the people throughout our country, from the Prime Minister on down, jump on the Maple Leaf bandwagon. Because if you're going to be consistent, right. When you told everyone else that you're supposed to
Canada's
root for
team,
Ottawa and Calgary and Vancouver in 2011 or whatever, let's see. Because I guarantee it won't happen.
No.
The one team that will be exempt from that is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, they're
which
either,
is fine.
They're either loved or hated. There's no in-between.
Like, no in-between.
And that's just, I mean, no that's in-between. A fact. But... you know, let's deal with that when it comes, because when or if it comes.
I think Winnipeg wins game 6. I do. I think that's going 7.
But honestly, we
Calgary,
don't know.
Calgary, I don't
hey,
know about
Hey, listen,
that.
We thought Tampa was going to have a massive comeback. They're, you know what? Steve Stamkos is probably sitting in Toronto right now or golfing or doing whatever. He's not playing hockey anymore.
Well, we were joking about that at the rink the other night. Stamkos could have been at game 4 back home in Toronto. I'm into my offseason. Game 4
there's
of
no
a series,
if
the guy's back
there,
in Toronto.
There's no way he would have done that.
No, of
Even
course not.
Even to support
not.
His friends.
No.
You know, he's friends with JT.
He still would have been down in Tampa and clearing out the locker and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, let's head down to Orlando now. And ahead of Game 3 tonight, here's our TSN Raptors analyst, Jack Armstrong. How you doing, Jack?
Brian, good. How are you guys?
Good.
We're doing very well. We're gearing up for a big one tonight. And, you know, the first two games were drastically different, clearly. You know, the first one, Orlando just barely got them. And game two, the Raptors came alive and biggest margin of victory in franchise history in the playoffs. What do you think is more likely to carry over to game three tonight? A closer game or a blowout?
Oh, I think it'll be a tighter game. If it's a blowout, I would think it would be Orlando, not Toronto. I think, the win on the road. Against this team, it's a good defensive team and takes care of the ball usually. I think you're going to have to win a tight game tonight. You know, the Raptors in their first two games have only shot 32% from three-point range, and they did a good job scoring in the paint in game two. So I really think Orlando all the more is going to gamble on the fact that they're going to do a lot in terms of paint protection. And they're going to force the Raptors to beat them with jump shots. So they're going to have to shoot it well tonight. They're going to have to take care of the ball as well. They can't, turn it over and allow Orlando to get in transition and get this young team amped up and the crowd going. This is their first playoff game in 7 years here. They sold out games 3 and 4 in an hour. And obviously they got to come out with the same kind of sustained intensity defensively that we saw in game 2, which I thought in game 1 they allowed Orlando to be comfortable with the exception of a 5-6 minute stretch in the third quarter in game 1. I thought in game 2 they jumped on them. They were ruthless, they were relentless, and they just never let up. And if you're going to win on the road, all those ingredients I just mentioned have to be in place to have a chance to win.
Do you think there should be some sense of urgency, Jack? I mean, they were walking into the shoot-around this morning. They looked pretty relaxed. And I know everyone keeps saying they're a better team. Let's not worry about this. But this kind of let's put some road wins here together in this series and take control. And let's not get stressed out later, no?
I'm totally with you. I am 100% on board with that. Because I walk into this arena tonight and I look at it and I say to myself, if you're going to contend for an Eastern Conference championship or have a chance to get to the NBA Finals, you can't get bogged down in a first-round series against a team that you're better than.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, the Raptors, as good as they've been this year, they've been uneven sometimes where they'll have stretches where they play really well, and then they'll have other stretches in the same game where you're like, who are these imposters? And I think there's got to be that level of consistency And, you know, they're going to need something from their bench. Their bench has been outscored in both games. And they're going to need a little something from those guys tonight on the road, a little pick-me-up. Obviously you want to sweep these two games here if you can. And at the very least, you got to somehow, some way get out of here with at least one win. But I think, you know, it's not going to be easy. And I think the first quarter of the game, coming out and setting the right tone and trying to play with the lead. I've always been a big believer the best way you can keep the crowd out of the game is you play with the lead, and they're constantly throwing haymakers at you, but you're just, you know, efficiently counterpunching and keeping them at arm's length. And I think that's going to be big tonight.
With Jack Armstrong ahead of Game 3 tonight, Raptors Magic down in Orlando. You mentioned the bench, and that's been an issue all year. And the numbers, you know, the plus minus through two games, off the charts. When the starting five are on the court, it's not even close. But when the bench starts seeping into the rotation, it really goes south. And I can't put my finger on it, because you've got some pretty quality players coming off the bench. And it's not like the Magic or an all-star team, you know, 6 through 10 in their rotation. Why can't the bench supply more? Like, forget just kind of saw it off. Why can't they actually perform and be productive?
I think there are times that there's just inconsistency. I don't think Norm Powell, when he's playing well, is a good player, but it's not always there. I thought Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl really made that second unit go a year ago with Van Vliet. You know, Poeltl's not here anymore. Siakam's in the starting lineup. And Van Vliet, you know, kind of plays different roles at times. So I think Nick Nurse all year has kind of been searching for different combinations to be productive and efficient, and they're still searching for answers. So to me, you know, you look at Fred VanVleet standalone, Serge Ibaka standalone, they're good players, but sometimes chemistry they got to click. And to me, here's a big point, Brian. Now that I think is really significant to think about. Starting tonight, it's games every other day, Friday, Sunday, then you travel back, you know, it's a 3-hour flight, play again Tuesday. If you have to come back here, it's Thursday. If you have to go back to Toronto, it's Saturday. And, you know, that might not mean a lot, but the Raptors have an older team. I mean, Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Serge Ibaka, I don't know how old the guy is, you know. You got some older guys on this. You got some older guys on this team, and to me, your point is right on the money. Don't mess around here, because if you get extended in a series with an older team, and now you're flying back and forth to Florida, and you're Nick Nurse is trying to roll with eight guys, suddenly against a young team, if you keep giving them hope, shame on you. So I think it's really important for the second unit to play well, but more importantly than anything else, they got to come out with a ruthless, relentless mentality and seize the moment right now.
Have you noticed the demeanor of Kawhi Leonard change at all from the regular season into the playoffs?
I haven't. You know, I watched a whole week of training camp, and he blew me away with just his level of professionalism and focus and attention to detail. He's a guy that actually pays attention and listens to his coaches. He's a guy that actually listens to what his teammates are saying to him or in the huddle. He's very very intuitive. He's in an age with so many distracted players that, you know, all caught up in social media and all that nonsense. This guy's dialed in. So I haven't seen a different level of focus, because he's always focused. What I've seen, though, is another gear physically of where he's at now in terms of just, physically he's peaking now. I mean, he's hitting that stride that, you know, he and the staff at the Raptors were hoping he could get to, you know, kind of bringing him back from, you know, missing 73 games a year ago to getting him to a point where he played 60 games this year. And they wanted to make sure that all the arrows were pointing upward. And I think when you look at him physically in the first two games, you know, that athleticism is bursting out on both sides of the ball, and he's always zeroed in and locked in. And obviously, with his teammates, you know, in that same mode now, it just perpetuates itself and takes off in a really positive way.
Game three tonight, Raptors Magic down in Orlando. That building will be rocking. Enjoy it, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Guys, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter.
You too. There's Jack Armstrong, our Raptors analyst, live from beautiful Orlando Magic territory down in Florida.
Loving it down there.
Loving it. Yeah, first home playoff game in 7 years. So that building will be popping off.
Yeah, but you're right.
I'm not too worried about the Raptors' demeanor with Marcus Gasol, Kawhi, Danny Green. These guys have been in the league for a long, long time.
Go ahead and do the opposite of what Jack said. Try to mop this up and get these guys rest.
Right, exactly. Yeah, clean up down in Orlando. Take both games, and then
You can load manage everyone.
Done with these guys.
Absolutely,
man.
But you're like Jack's not wrong. Like it's not easy to win ball games on the road. It's not.
Right.
But Philly went into Brooklyn last night without Joel Embiid and smacked them around. Golden State went into Staples Center last night, smacked the Clippers around.
Right.
The Raptors, there's no excuse for them not doing the same thing.
No, you can
like,
do
there,
it.
There isn't. You had your off night game one. You had it. You didn't perform. You didn't play well enough.
Did you see Embiid on the bench where someone drag bunted and they were just disgusted?
I think it was the guy behind them. Did you see? If you actually take a look at the bench,
somebody got him.
Everyone was denying it, but there's a guy behind Embiid that is just hoping that the wind blows through. Because if you look at the look on his face, he's like, please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. I've been eating protein all afternoon.
Really?
Like, so, I was shocked that somebody didn't spot shadow this character.
I thought Embiid was targeted. Like, I thought it was, people were speculating that it was Embiid.
No, he was
asking. I do have a bit of a rule. Whoever goes jersey over the nose first did it.
So that was the guy to the...
That was Embiid.
No, it was Embiid's buddy, the guy right to...
If
you're looking
at
the TV, it's to the left of Embiid. That guy had his whole tarp almost over his face.
I don't think it was Ben Simmons, but...
I think it was the character behind them, and it had seeped into the front, and it was strong.
That's an ignorant move.
The boys were pissed.
Ignorant and uncalled for in the playoffs.
Selfish.
These guys are professional athletes. They're trying to perform.
Yeah, I agree.
Can't happen. Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, in about 25 minutes. Tons of rumors out there in terms of Vlady Guerrero Jr. and when he's getting called up. We'll get you the latest on that next. Very bold. Our boy Chris is behind the glass because Mullen, he won't work on holidays anymore. He's a high-end employee, man.
He's got a family and stuff.
So he can do whatever he wants. It's his call, but we're all in here.
He'll have a running mate next year. Not a chance I'm coming in here.
You always say that, though, but then you always...
Exactly.
No, I always forget to book it off. You always say you have to book it off. I'm not stepping foot in here on a holiday. It's not fair. Why is everyone else in this building out of here?
I don't know, man. It's a fun time of year to be doing radio and TV. I'm happy to be in here.
I'm fine.
We got the Leaf game tonight, the Raptor game tonight.
We got a feed waiting for us.
Exactly.
We're good.
You guys have ordered food. Somehow I snuck out of paying for, like, the infinity week in a row. Every week I come up short.
It's all good, though. I don't mind.
I will pay at some point.
At some point.
I promise.
Put your wallet on a milk carton.
Disappeared somehow. Big night again in the playoffs. Raptors playing. Maple Leafs playing. Remember to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. So, Vlady Guerrero Jr. is just hitting missiles all over AAA. Doesn't matter where he is. If it's in Buffalo, if it's on the road.
Get him up here already.
Well, they're on the road. They're in Oakland for the weekend. And then they come home. They got an off day on Monday. Then the Giants are in town on Tuesday. And there are some reports, some rumors, sources indicating that Vlady will be called up and he'll be playing on Tuesday. But our own Scott Mitchell, our TSN Blue Jay reporter, he sent this tweet out in the last hour. I wouldn't rush out and buy Blue Jay tickets for Tuesday just yet. I'm told it's highly unlikely Vlady Guerrero Jr. is recalled without some sort of an injury this weekend in Oakland. And he was told there's a 1% chance he's playing Tuesday. That's what he was told, or that's how it was put to him from someone within the organization. Here's why Vlady Guerrero Jr., it should not even be an option that he comes up Tuesday.
Why?
If the Leafs win tonight and the Bruins win on Sunday, do you know what happens Tuesday night?
Game 7.
Why would you ever even contemplate bringing up the most anticipated prospect in the history of the franchise, the most anticipated debut in the history of the franchise, and nothing comes close when there's a very good chance the Maple Leafs will be playing the Bruins in Game 7 the same night?
You would really do that? You would base it around if the Maple Leafs go to a Game 7?
Do you know how dreadful this season is going to be for the fans? Give them one opportunity to say, let me just... They play the next afternoon.
Yeah, you can.
What's an extra day or two? Like, I'm not saying Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins necessarily will be thinking about that, and they shouldn't be. They don't care about the Leafs, the Raptors, or anything else. They think about, okay, what's in the best interest of our team?
But still.
Someone step in and have just an ounce of sensibility and say, hold off for a day or two, because Blue Jay fans are going to be like, come on, man, you're really going to take this away from me, the idea that I could go down and watch them, but if I do that, I'm going to miss... Yeah, Maple Leafs Bruins in Game 7?
Put it this way. They'll know Sunday afternoon. Sunday by 6 o'clock should have an idea.
If we're going to have a Game 7.
We're going to have a Game 7.
That's
so,
right. And the Raptors will be playing that night, too.
You can make that decision then. And I think Griff is a good PR guy. He's going to probably get it. Like, from a PR standpoint, you've got to at least voice your opinion,
well,
too.
Well, it's not Griff's call.
It's not going to be, but you have to, like you say, you need something positive that's going to come out of this season. The debut of your
The
Simba.
Face of the franchise.
Yeah.
He's been the face of the franchise for about a year now, if not longer than that. He still hasn't played a professional baseball game. And once he's up, he's going to be here for a long, long time.
Right.
They've already stalled because of the injury partially, but they were going to stall anyway. Even if he was healthy, he wasn't coming up.
Right. But
and listen, I'm not expecting Shapiro and Atkins necessarily to be thinking like this. They're going to do what's in the best interest for their team and for the player. And I'm sure Vladdy, you know, he's getting hungry. He wants to come up. But an extra day or two to throw your fans a bone is what I'm saying.
That I agree.
Throw Blue Jays fans a bone that are like, I got to pick one or the other here. You know, it's going to be a tough season anyway. Let them have
that's what I mean.
Cooler that heads moment will prevail. On their own.
It's just they're going to have. They've got to probably target an area. It just happens to fall around Tuesday. I don't think it'd be a big deal if it was Wednesday.
Right. Exactly.
That's you know.
Well, and here's the goofiness of you know the position the Blue Jays find themselves in. I was on their website. I'm pretty sure it is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. bobblehead day on Wednesday when the Giants are here. They're here for a 2-game series. They play Tuesday night and then Wednesday afternoon. Which is cool. Everyone loves a bobblehead. Except Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is now in AAA. They sent him to the minors last week.
They don't care about bobbleheads.
But, like, nothing can break their way right now. Like, this guy who, again, is a young guy, and they're trying to, you know, I think he's got a future. He can't defend right now, and he's dealing with some confidence issues, and that's why they sent him down. And you set up the bobblehead days, you know, months and months in advance.
Right.
Kind of sucks.
But how do you have a bobblehead day for a guy that you've demoted to the minor leagues?
Can't you wait it out and do somebody else and then...
Yeah, you're going to have to delay that one.
I don't know if you can because it's probably tied to a sponsor, I would assume.
Well, you go to the sponsor and say, this player's not available because he's not playing for us right now. Like you're not going to... To your point, from a business standpoint, go, you know, we can't send this guy down. He's got a bobblehead night coming up.
Of course not. No, of course not.
But how about choose the bobbleheads of guys who are not threatened to go to the minors?
How about ship the bobbleheads to Buffalo?
Yeah.
Bisons, here's some bobbleheads.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they moved it around. Like, maybe they already have and they've moved stuff around. I don't know. But I just don't get it. Nothing can break their way. At this point, but with the Vladdy stuff, again, I don't even know how you would explain it to him. And the counter would be, you're allowing him to kind of ease into it, and there's not going to be that much pressure. But the truth is, the pressure is going to be there anyway. They've been promoting this guy anyway,
right?
And like Major League Baseball, their Twitter account and Instagram accounts were posting videos of hitting bombs in batting practice in the spring. This guy's already the most marketable guy that you have.
Yeah.
And...
No, I agree.
I think it's twofold. Again, for your fans, don't put them in a position where they have to pick or choose. But ideally, if you can give Vladdy his own moment, do what you can to give it to him.
Agree.
So we'll see.
I agree. It's got to be his own moment. They'll figure that out.
Yes, they will. Blue Jays in Oakland for a three-game series starting tonight. So you got the Jays game late tonight. You got the Raptors in Orlando. Maple Leafs in Boston.
A good one.
Pretty decent little Friday night in the city of Toronto. Hour two coming up. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us. I believe he's in Calgary for the call tonight.
He doesn't know where he is.
Man. No, he's
I
lost.
Don't even know where I am, but I can't imagine him. That is crazy stuff.
He's been all over the map.
Yeah.
He's been everywhere. So he's coming up. James Neal's going to be a healthy scratch. He's got 4 years left at 5.75 left on that ticket.
I think there might be a divorce into that marriage this summer.
It just never worked. They could never get on the same page. It never worked.
Didn't work.
So we'll look ahead to that. Steve Yzerman being hired down in Detroit as well. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.